You are listening to the Passion City Church podcast. To learn more about Passion City Church, including our gathering times in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com. Today's talk comes from Pastor Louis Giglio.
The message today is called The Next Yes. It's the most important yes of all the yeses in our lives. We've talked about how this thing that we steward called yes and no is the greatest commodity that is in our possession today. So your most valuable commodity is not your bank account or a relationship or the house that you own or the degree that you earned or an accomplishment that you have. Your greatest commodity is the power to say yes to God's future for you, and to say no to things that are not a part of God's future for you. And at the end of the day, we build a life, but it's not just a life, it's a collection of yeses and nos that we make by the leadership of God's Spirit day in and day out, and they become the building blocks for our lives. All of us, I think, would say in the place today, we've said some yeses to some things we regret. Anybody? On that page today, a few people. Some of us would say we've said no to the right thing a few times and we regret that in our lives. God said go this way and we said nope, I'm going to go this way and we regret that. Some of us have said some yeses to some great things in life and we've said no's to the right things in life a few times, or maybe they were the wrong things and so it was the right no when we said the no. And so we've gotten to hear not all good, not all bad, but that's not what today is about. Today isn't about looking backwards at some other decision we made. Today is about thinking about the next decision that we're going to make. And me praying along with you today that God would free us to understand that we have the capacity today to go with God. No matter what's happened in the past, you have the capacity to go with God today. No matter who you went with yesterday, you have the capacity to go with God today. Whether you got it all right or whether you got it all wrong, you have the capacity to go with God today. It's called your next yes, and it's right in front of all of us right now. We're celebrating the 10-year anniversary this year of an event that stunned everyone in our nation and practically everyone in the world. It was U.S. Air Flight 1549, the flight that took off from LaGuardia, like a lot of us have done, ended up having an incident immediately on takeoff, and within a moment of getting in the air, the pilots are back to the control tower at LaGuardia saying, we got problems and we're going to have to land this plane. And as you listen to the transcript, or maybe you saw the movie Sully, you see what unfolds in the next few minutes, and that is, can we get back to LaGuardia? We're clearing the runways. No, we can't. What else is there? There's Teterboro over in New Jersey. Can you get to Teterboro? We're clearing the runways at Teterboro. I don't think we can get there either. Then you see on the transcript, there's Newark is 6 miles up and to your right. Can you get to Newark? And finally, the quote that we all knew so well, Sully Sullenberger, at 57 years of age, after flying his entire life with military experience and all kinds of other experiences in life, says one phrase that defines the moment. He said, we're gonna be in the Hudson. So he's getting all this information. Can you get back to LaGuardia? Can you get to Teterboro? There's another option on the right. Here's information, if you're reading the transcript, coming from the cockpit broadcast saying, you're too low, you gotta pull up. Information coming from his co-pilot. There's all this information in the moment. All of this life is now being lived out in the moment. And Sully makes a decision in the moment, and he says, we're going to be in the Hudson. It's the last thing he says. He's like, I'm not interested in what I'm getting from you or you or you. I've surveyed the situation. I've made a decision. I see the only option that looks like a viable option for all of us. And now I'm setting the course, setting the direction. I'm saying yes to landing this plane in a river. Because that's the next yes I've got right now. Turns out it was the only yes he had right then. And that clarity, confidence, and that decision saved not only his life, but the life of every person on that airplane. And it was all based mostly in the clarity of letting his yes be yes. And in that same moment, like we talked about, letting his no be no. We're going in the Hudson River. We're not going anywhere else. Therefore, all my energy right now is focused on a safe landing on water. And this is what Jesus was saying in the Sermon on the Mount. In the midst of all this teaching that he gave, he talked about oaths. And he said, and when you make an oath, you don't want to swear by heaven. You don't want to swear by anything on earth. You want to live the kind of life where your yes can be yes and your no can be no. Matthew 5:37, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. In other words, find that place in life where you can confidently take the next step saying, I know what God wants me to do right now. Therefore, with all the other options, with all the other input, I'm making a decision for my future. So the next yes, let's talk about it for a moment. It can do three things today, and I believe these things are powerful for every one of us. The first thing that the next yes can do is it can put you in charge of your life. The next yes can put you back in charge in your life. Now, big footnote coming here. If you don't know Passion City, if you don't know me, if you don't know our theology, I'm not really saying that you're in charge of your life. So there's a bigger story going on around us. We worship a sovereign God. Our lives belong to him. He runs history. He runs eternity, and he's in charge of our lives. Okay, big footnote on that. But the God who's in charge of our lives, who's sovereign over the universe, and sovereign over our world, has given you the opportunity to be the steward of your life. The sovereign God is saying to you, you've got a yes in one hand and a no in the other hand, and with that yes and that no, you are going to get to steward the life that I've given you. So today is not really about taking ownership of your life. That's a misnomer. God is the owner of our lives, but he's renting them or leasing them to us while we're alive. And he's allowing us somehow in his sovereignty to be in the mix with him. And in the mix with him, we have the capacity to say yes to God's plans and purposes for our life. And it may be your next yes that puts you back in charge of your life. We're living in a ride-sharing culture now where I don't even know if kids being born today are ever even going to go get a driver's license. I mean, I read recently that they'll never carry cash, a baby born today. They will never have a passport. They will never have a bank card, a kid born today. And I thought, and they'll probably never get a driver's license. Why would they? They'll just talk to something and say, hey, I need to go to the bank. Oh, no, I don't need to go to the bank. I don't have a bank card. My bank is in my watch. Awesome. Cool. I'd like to go to wherever. Something shows up, probably not an Uber driver because we won't need them anymore. Something will show up. They'll get in and off we'll go. This is our future. Driving, if you're a driving person, enjoy it while you can. It's going away. And now we're turning into a ride-sharing culture, which is crazy in a lot of different ways. But the craziest thing about it is we get in and we are now afforded the opportunity to make phone calls, check Instagram, text our friends, answer work emails, and read the newspaper. And then pretty soon, thing stops, door opens, and out we get. We don't know where we went. We don't know how we got there. We don't know what we passed on the way, because we were just a passenger in the car. And I think a lot of us are just passengers in life. And I think God is wanting to say something really simple, practical, and clear today, and it is this. He wants you to put your hands back on the steering wheel of your life. And he wants you to understand that your next yes gets you out of the passenger seat and back into the driver's seat. Now, I want to keep saying the footnote, but can I just say footnote? If you just remember the footnote, okay? He wants to put you, the sovereign God, back in the driver's seat of your life. He wants you to take up stewardship of your life. He wants you and me to realize that we have an opportunity to partner with the God of eternity to do something amazing with our lives. And in a Netflix generation, this is going away. And people live for, what time do I get off work? What are our plans this weekend? Where's our next trip gonna be? This is not the life that Christ died for. Christ died to invite you to partner with your yes and your no with the big plans of a sovereign, eternal God who's working on planet Earth. And you've got what? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes on Earth. Oh no, I'm gonna be 80. Great, that's the 30 minutes. You may die at 30. That's the 5 minutes you've got on earth. And we're riding around in the back of cars, in the back of culture, in the back of whatever our friends decided they wanted to do, or our family said we're going to do, or I decided that I want to do. We're just riding around in the back of cars in a life that is so valuable, so precious, so temporary and momentary. And we have an opportunity, people, to get out of the back seat and back in the front seat and say, no, this is the life God has given me to steward. I'm gonna put my hands back on the steering wheel and I'm gonna make a decision about what my life is gonna be. And that all is wrapped up in the power of yes. It's like Mary, when the angel came to her. Now I don't know if Mary had a choice or not. Talking about the Virgin Mary. But the angel comes to this teenage girl and says, I know you were thinking about a farm theme wedding. But you're having the Son of God. Now, you're pregnant by the Spirit of God. And somehow this teenage girl said, whew, I don't think I can get to Teterboro. I definitely can't get back to LaGuardia. Okay, I'm in. Yes. You're like, well, Louis, surely you're not comparing me today to the Virgin Mary who gave birth to God in human flesh. Now, I'm not thinking that God wants to come to earth again through us physically, but I am believing today that God wants to birth something on earth through your life, for earth, for his glory, and that's your shot, and that's your calling, and that's your opportunity to say today, I'm getting out of the passenger seat and getting back into the driving seat, and I'm going to start using my yes to say yes to God's purposes for my life. I am not going to die saying circumstances controlled my life. I am not going to go out with my one shot on earth saying the past controlled my life. I'm not going to go out saying other people decided what my life was gonna be. I am gonna wake up today to the fact that God is here, right now with me, giving me the power and the opportunity by my relationship with him through the Holy Spirit to say yes to his future for my life. And today I'm gonna start leaning toward being the person that says, my yes is my yes and my no is my no. I'm going to move forward today with God in my life. The second thing your next yes can do for you is it can start moving you away from a fear-based life. It can put you back in the driver's seat. The opposite of that, really, it's the same point said two different ways. That yes can start moving you away from a fear-based life. When you boil a life down, this is what I've learned in my life over all the years of my life. When my life is boiled down, it is boiled down to faith or fear. When you shrink it all down, peel it all back, simplify everything, get rid of the fog and the mist and all the stuff we say, when you get right down to the heart of it, for me, it was either in that moment, I believe God or I didn't believe God. I believed God or I believed the enemy. I believed that God had a plan and a purpose and the ability to accomplish it, or I believed that I couldn't or I shouldn't or I wouldn't or he wouldn't. And so I chose fear. I either walked away from God's plan out of fear, or I walked into God's plan believing in who he was by faith. And fear is the driver of the world. We even named it. We talked about it last week. We even have given it a place in our vocabulary now, and in our language, our lifestyle now. We've even given a spot to FOMO. Now is a thing. Now you may be, I don't know what FOMO is. Well, then you're in my generation. You're in my demographic. Not on social media, probably. But if you were in another demographic than me, and you were on social media, and you were hanging around more of a younger crowd, you would know the acronym FOMO at this point. And it's just in conversation. Yeah, I was having a big case of FOMO. I was just overtaken by FOMO. And you're like, what is FOMO? It is the fear of missing out. Now, FOMO couldn't have happened when people my age were growing up, because there was no fear of missing out, because you were with your two neighbors' families' kids that you grew up with. This is all there was, the six of you. And little Johnny's got the measles, so he's not here today, but the other five of us are here today because it's just us. We play in the backyard. We go down to the cul-de-sac. We throw rocks in the creek. Anybody remember that generation? A few people, just giving the older people a chance to, yeah, we're still alive. We're still here. It's amazing. We've made it into the 21st century. We're going to have a dirt clod fight. We built a tree house. Little Teddy had a birthday party. I mean, this was life. And occasionally, if you could afford it, you take a photograph. Get it developed down at Eckerd's. If you could pay extra, you could get it the next day. 24-hour development. Some of you are like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I know. But there was no FOMO. We had other issues. We had a Cuban Missile Crisis. It was a big deal. But we didn't have FOMO, because what did you know about what the people eight subdivisions over were doing? You didn't know they had a two-story treehouse with electricity and glamping going on. You didn't know that was happening. So you thought your one-story treehouse was fantastic. And you plan to add on to it next year when they expanded the subdivision and you could borrow more wood from the developers who were building the other houses on the other street. So this was life. But that life is gone, and a new life is here. And in the new life, your friends who just moved to Malaysia, you know what they ate today. And that's great, because you can now be a little bit of a better citizen of the world. The downslope is that we see in real time what everybody else is showing us. And when that happens to a person whose yes isn't solid in God, then it unravels them at the core. And our identity becomes exposed in that moment, not as secure children of God, called by God, but our identity maybe becomes more mirrored as it really is, which is, I'm not comfortable about with who I am. I never really was sure about whether I had a purpose and a plan. I'm not really confident that God is leading me forward today. And therefore, I'm looking at everybody else going, man, I don't know what I'm doing or who I am. And FOMO has become a thing, fear of missing out. And so that's just a simple, easy to grab illustration. That would be called just like the basic sermon illustration right there, because everyone can laugh and everyone understands. And it's easier than digging down under all the other things we're afraid of. Like, I'm afraid I'll never measure up. I'm afraid I'm going to end up like my dad. I'm afraid if people really knew me, no one would like me. I'm afraid if I take a step with God, I might lose everything. And all the other fears that are down underneath the surface that are driving us and controlling our lives. And God is saying to someone today, listen, fear is a real thing, and it can kill you and take you out. But you have the power of something called yes at your disposal today. And that yes can lead you away from a fear-based life and toward a faith-based life. And you can get out of the back seat and in the front seat and make that decision today. And some of you are like, oh no, I don't think I could do that. Why? Because fear is telling you that. And fear's been talking to you your whole life. In fact, you don't even know how to do life without fear talking to you about everything you do in life. Jesus came out of the tomb, people. And he is in this house today, risen from the dead. So let that rock land in the lake called fear today, and let the ripples start moving today, because God wants to set somebody free today from the fear that's controlled your life, your whole life. I know that life is hard. So if your life has been extremely hard, please know that I'm not belittling your life. Death is real. But because of a death, some of you have lived in fear every day since in your life. I know that divorce is real. It's just become a part of the fabric of our economy. But it is not just a part of the fabric of our economy. It is a destroyer of faith. And because of divorce, some of you have lived in fear every day of your life since your mom or dad walked out that door. I know that disease is real. There are people in worship in our house today that have gotten words from doctors saying, if you don't get a miracle, you're not going to make it. Disease is real. But for some of us, ever since disease got in our story, every day since that moment, fear has driven and controlled our lives. Disappointment is in the story. Failure is in the story. Horrible stuff is in the story. And you know what else is in the story that's making us afraid? Success is in the story. Some of you have been so successful, you're driven by fear of losing it all, of keeping it all, of guarding it all, of propping it all up. And that fear is driving you. And I'm not saying that all of those things aren't real. We're not coming down to some little catchy bumper sticker, Christian button-esque faith today. Oh, just say yes and you can move out of fear into a big life of faith. Now, we are saying life is real and the stuff you've dealt with is real, but guess what? The stuff you have dealt with doesn't have ultimate power over you. Your yes can break you away from the stuff that has happened in your life. Even if the first yes is just to say, it has been so messed up in my life, I need to say yes to getting help. We heard the story today of a precious person who had lived their entire life in the dark corner of alcoholism, but on a certain day, at rock bottom, she woke up and she said yes to getting help. That next yes changed her life. That next yes changed her life. Oh, come on, we're gonna clap for somebody that got their life changed. That's yes. So maybe for you, it's not gonna be, I'm gonna say yes, and then I'm gonna walk out these doors today to my brand new, paid for, fully insured car that's waiting outside. I'm gonna drive it even though I have a driver because I've got a driver now, but I'm gonna make the driver ride in the back because I think I'm gonna put my hands on the wheel. But just if there's a day I'm tired, I'll get the driver and he can drive for a little bit. And then I'm gonna move on to my new thing and my new this and my new, listen, we're not saying today that one yes can change the circumstances all around you today. We're just saying one yes can move you towards a brand new future today. And it might just be the yes of saying, I've been living in fear my whole life. I need help. I'm gonna say yes to getting help. When you say yes to getting help, there's another next yes, and that's yes to taking the help. Anybody got help here that didn't take the help? No? I took the step, and I got some help, and then when I got the help, I said, oh, I'm not going to take that help. See, that no canceled out that other yes, and then opened a doorway for you to have a whole bunch of other issues in life. It's little decisions, people, is what God's saying today. I can't change my whole life today, and I can't change my whole past today, but I can say yes to getting help today, and I'm going to say yes to getting help today. And when I show up to get help, when I get help, I'm going to say yes to actually taking the help that God is giving me when I ask for help. And then I'm going to say yes to the next step after that. And those next yeses are going to lead me out of a fear-driven life where I've just relinquished control to circumstances that I thought were all out of my control, and I'm gonna step back in the power of God to say yes to what he has for my life. This is the way that the psalmist said it. He said, I remain confident in this, Psalm 27:13, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Don't you love that word? I remain confident. Now, the psalmist wasn't saying, if you read the context of it, that everything had been amazing. In fact, in verse 3 of the same psalm, he says this, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then, I will be confident. And then he comes down to verse 13 and he says, I'm still confident. I'm going to remain confident. I'm going to hang on to confidence. I'm saying no to fear and I'm saying yes to faith. I'm saying no to being controlled by the circumstances around me and I'm saying yes to the God who's leading me forward. I remain confident. And you know what I'm confident in? I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. That's going to be the story written over my life. I get out of the backseat of just relinquishing to whatever is going to happen, and I'm getting back into the front seat of faith, and I believe I'm going to see the goodness of God in my life, and I'm going to be counted not among the dead, I'm going to be counted among the living who've joined with God and said yes to him for his purposes in my life. Who knows what God wants to give birth to in the world through you? When you say yes, count me in. I want to be in the story with you. Paul said it this way, writing just to remind me and all of us today from a prison cell in Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. Now, we talked earlier in this series that our yeses are best when they're focused on other people and not on us. And we see this in Paul's prayer. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You're like, oh, Paul, that's a good old boy. Paul, of course, he's going to say that. Listen, this is real-time Paul. This is Paul before there's a Bible that he wrote most of the New Testament in. This is Paul just being Paul. This is a guy just following the Lord. This is a guy just saying yes and no. He's letting his yes be yes and his no be no. And he said yes to the call of Christ on his life. That landed him in a prison cell chained to the wall. But in a prison cell chained to the wall, he still believed in a bigger story and didn't give in to fear that maybe this was all a mess and a hoax and I should have never gotten into it in the first place. He said, oh no, the God who called me is a significant God, and he is able to do what he has promised to do. Therefore, in this cell, in this moment, writing this letter, thinking about others, I'm confident that the God who starts something finishes something, and what God started in me cannot be stopped by circumstances, by other people, by opposition, by challenges, by trials. Nothing is going to stop my God from doing what my God began to do in me. I'm just trying to preach faith, people. I'm just trying to stir up, by the power of the Holy Spirit, faith, because the enemy is even in the house right now saying, oh, this won't work for you. Oh, this isn't for you. Oh, this is just somebody talking, doesn't understand you. Listen, God understands it all. And he's bigger than whatever has been smashing into your life and stealing away your confidence. To say, I still get to say yes. Oh, cancer has a voice, but I still get to say yes to what I want to say yes to. Yes, the divorce and the abandonment and the abuse and all the pain had a voice, but guess what? I still have a voice also, and I still have a yes. And I choose to use it right now, not to say yes to fear, and this is just always the way it's going to be. I choose to use my yes today to say, God, I believe in you. And I'm telling you, man, it looks like the deck is stacked against you right now. But I'm telling you, it was only worse the day that Jesus came out of the grave. So I'm still going to believe. I am still going to remain confident that I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And so I'm just saying, yes, show me the next step today. Show me the next step today. Our next yes can put us back in charge, footnote, of our lives. Our next yes can move us away from a fear-based life. And our next yes can begin to build in us a powerful, principled, centered life. I'm just going to let that one sink in for a minute. Your next yes could be the moment where you begin to build a powerful, centered, principled life. When Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no, man, might as well have asked people to walk on water in this generation. There used to be a time, I'm talking to the older generation today because I like that, because I am that. There used to be a time back in the old days, even older people that are a little bit older than me, more mature than me, born before I was born. And there was a phrase that said, my word, do you know this phrase, is what? My anybody? Okay, let's just have the old people do it. Young people, take a moment, breathe. Old people, go with me. My word is my bond. No, I don't need to sign anything. I gave you my word. And we don't need an attorney. I gave you my word. I don't need to read page 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 in the fine print. You and I, we looked eye to eye, and I gave you my word. And now we would still say that. I think people still believe that. My word is my bond, unless I see on Instagram that there's a better opportunity coming along, and then it's all up in the air. My word is my bond, unless a better offer comes along, duh. Who wouldn't take that? My word is my bond, unless it gets really hard. And you know when things get really hard, you have to reevaluate. You have to reassess. You have to regroup. And sometimes when, you know, and everyone understands, of course, because of all of this crazy that we need to rethink all this. And I want to tell you what the Bible has to say about that kind of life. James 1:8 says it this way. A double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. Now, the context of that was prayer, asking God and not really asking with the right motives, asking God but having sort of like a second game going on the side, not thinking God understood that. But the net of it is pretty potent for my life. A double-minded man or woman is unstable in all of their ways. So what God is wanting me to understand today as we're coming down to the wire on this Yes series is that yeses do open gateways to God's blessing or gateways to gauntlet of regret, that no is our best yes, like Jesus saying no to temptation, no to the devil, no to the devil, no to the devil. That is often our very best yes, is a really sincere and kind and grounded no. But God also wants us to see today that letting our yes be yes and our no be no isn't about how we played out the decision over the weekend. We're actually developing a character every time we break our word. And it's not just going to be, well, it was in a business thing, or it was with a friend, or it was I promised him to go out of town with him, and then I backed out, or it was I told the guy I would help him with the project, but then I kind of backed out, or I told my friend I would be there, but then I backed out. It's not just those one-offs. It ends up building a lifestyle of instability. A double-minded man, the Bible said, is unstable in all his ways. So you start chipping away at the corners of your yes being yes and your no being no, and at the end of the day, you don't have a bond anymore. And the one thing you can count on with the God that you're saying yes today is he's never going to break his word with you. His covenant isn't a contract. It was a death on a cross for you. And he is going to keep his promise to you. So I can't be walking with an almighty covenant keeper and be flimsy about my yes and my no and expect that I'm going to grow up and be like my father. And so I just believe God is giving us a little gentle wake up today. Do not become a FOMO culture. Oh, let the world be FOMO all day long. Do not do as they do, because they don't have me as you do. You keep saying yes to me, you're not going to miss anything. You say yes to the budget that God is calling your family to say yes to, and then you're looking at your friends out here having dinner, and now they're out here at Tybee Island, and now they're out here on a camping trip, and now they're over here with their new whatever, and you're like, oh my goodness, everybody got something new, and you're like, yeah, but you know what? We said yes to this budget for our family, and this is what's going to unlock our future. This is what's going to free us from fear. This is what's going to enable us to step into God's plans and purposes for our lives. So trust me, I ain't missing out on nothing. Tybee looks beautiful. Thanks for the Instagram, because I'm for free sitting over here on my budget enjoying the sunset right now, because I can't afford to drive to Tybee Island. I can't afford a bus ticket to Tybee Island right now. So I'm just going to enjoy it. And thank goodness I've got Google going on, because I did pay my Wi-Fi bill. So I'm just going to Google Tybee sunsets right now on YouTube and just watch some other people's sunsets for a minute. Or hey, I'm just going to shut my computer down and go out, because the sun's actually setting in Atlanta today. And for free, I can walk out in Piedmont Park and watch it set over Midtown. And that was pretty great. Didn't cost me anything. I'm saying yes to something that's freeing me, not constraining me. So I just believe God's saying today, listen, you're peculiar people. You're my people. You're a holy nation. You're raised from the dead in Jesus Christ. You are assigned a purpose and a calling over your life. You are a part of divine missions and plans. You're not just riding around in the back seat of the Ubers of the world. You are my children. You've got a mission. You've got a destiny. And it's called life and not death. You got an opportunity with me today, but you're gonna need to wake up from a culture that changes its mind every 15 minutes. You're gonna need to wake up from a culture that's afraid they're gonna miss out on something. And you're gonna have to wake up in a culture that's riding around in the back seat of other people's cars. And you're gonna have to say yes to the God of heaven today and say, I wanna take the wheel, footnote. I want to start walking towards faith. And I want to be a person who's got stability, gravity, a solid center that is principled. When I say yes, I'm going to go through with my yes. And when I say no, I'm going to stand on my no. I'm going to let God build my life.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever you stream your podcasts. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com or download the Passion Movement app. And again, thanks for listening to the Passion City Church podcast.